that they're, you're going to only hear yourself in one ear. But not in both ears.
I don't think I know how to wear these kinds of headphones.
Can you hear?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
They're stuck in my piercings already. Hold on. Okay.
That's never happened on the podcast before. So here we are. I'm gonna start, and we're gonna talk about nothing.
So a Seinfeld episode.
This is the closest we're ever going to get to a Seinfeld episode.
I'm trying to catch my breath because I just went up the stairs and I don't want our listeners to know how out of shape I am by heavy breathing into the mic.
I listen to the podcast because she's always heavy breathing.
It's a lot of stairs.
Yeah.
But at least you turned the mic on. Unlike that one assignment you did here,
in my defense, I turned it on. I just didn't plug it in right.
Right, here you go. Well, it happens to all of us. Testing 1, 2, 3 on my mic.
Testing 1, 2, 3 on my mic.
Testing 1, 2, 3 on my mic.
I'm Todd Meisner.
I'm Meg McLaughlin.
And I'm Brian Achenbach.
And we're talking pictures. Hi, everybody. We're back. And I apologize for the long hiatus. Long story short, we moved at the end of last year. It's been 3 months, I think, without a podcast. That's way too long. And I apologize. We got busy. Every other photographer in the world got busy with basketball and whatnot. Getting adjusted to our new offices, getting everybody into the studio was problematic. Plus, there was a ton of construction going on below us that all you would have heard is rattling and sawing. And but anyway, I'm really hoping that somebody flushes the toilet.
Yeah,
because when you're in here, we actually might send you, Brian, out to go flush the toilet to see if it in the men's room. The men's room is on the other side of our background paper.
That's the break room, I thought.
Yeah, but is it that
they right there?
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure that bathroom's right there.
And by right there, I mean like
we're pointing at a wall and this is radio. But yeah, so you could clearly in here when you're in here hear the toilet flush. So the construction is kind of eased out, and then everybody's kind of getting back into a workflow of being able to do the podcast. So that's good. So we've got some good podcasts lined up, but what you're about to hear is the second half of the first half of the podcast that we started to record. The podcast we started to record was about the move. And then there was a knock on the door, and we kind of went down a rabbit hole after we paused. And I thought that the after the break was way more interesting for you. So that's what you're about to hear. Enjoy.
I had the trifecta. I had a sneeze, and then halfway through my sneeze, I had a cough. And then halfway through that cough, I had another sneeze.
Brian,
while I was
did you
driving.
Do that? Did you put, or is it me? The what? Chair got stuck. Like, you used to do that to your chair back at the old building where you would, like, do you know what I'm talking about? Where he'd push the chair and so it would be underneath the desk and it was stuck. Wow, I'm, okay.
It's
one of those days.
I know what you mean.
Little inside baseball.
Because, like,
just in my head.
For whatever reason, it is, like,
I hate that.
Must have rose up every time I got up.
And
it would just eventually get to the height where it would, when I, you know, put,
now I know.
Put it under my desk, it would just, like, rubbing.
I just want to apologize because I used to be irrationally irritated at you for that. God, Brian's so weird. Can't get his chair. Can't move it. He always puts it underneath his desk and then it gets stuck. Yeah. I didn't know.
I adjust that thing at least 6 or 7 times. Just and it would just be like, it must have been like the most minute movement every time I got up that it would just go up. And then eventually it would get to the point where it reached critical mass and would just rub under the desk enough to where when I tried to pull it out, it would try to take the entire desk with it.
Just
it was annoying.
It just seemed like a Brian thing. I feel bad. Now I know.
I didn't know any of this was going on under my watch. None of this. I was not aware
of
this minor passive-aggressive war that was going on.
I'd have to put my foot or something on my chair to push it down enough to pull my chair out from under my desk.
This is why I brought my own chair.
I like my chair. He's like the chair
okay.
Gabe. I used to have the chair that Todd Welvert sat in that I believe you originally sat
that was
in.
That was my chair, and then I wore that one out and gave it to Todd.
By the time I had it, I used to keep a blanket And so because it was so like caved in that there wasn't enough. So if I sat back in it, like I'm really sitting back in it. So I will say this has been an improvement, but I did like that chair.
This is the thing I
didn't even know you could do. That's aggressive.
See, yes, out of all the things that I somehow screwed up with a chair, I have yet to do that.
Okay.
Meg is so
skinny that she didn't know that this was the way. So the chairs are issued all the way in. So that they're...
Really?
Sorry, okay. I'm trying to try it.
So her chair that she sits in has these all the way in towards her.
Sure.
Okay. And that's comfortable if you're as thin as she is. Okay, I am not as thin as she is.
Sure.
So I sat in her chair to do something, and I slipped in the chair, and I could feel them like hit my hips as I went in, but I didn't pay much attention to it. So I like left her a note or whatever, and I went to get up, and the chair came
with me. I had no idea that they even did that. That's so funny. That's funny. Terrible. I'm sorry my chair did that to you.
Like, I'm so fat.
Stage 5 clinger chair.
It was stage 5 clinger chair. So, okay. Do we want to talk about the elephant in the room? As he points at himself.
It's like pointing at me, ?
Yeah, yes. Do we want to talk about the elephant in the room?
I don't care.
Okay. Well, I'm sad to announce that his 2-year run on the podcast is over. And Brian, at the end of this week, will be leaving us.
That is correct.
To go home to Des Moines and pursue job opportunities in that part of the state of Iowa.
Yeah. Just wanted to be kind of closer to home and just felt like it was time to make a move. And, you know, it's going to suck leaving everybody. Out of 2 years, you make a lot of friends and you kind of become ingrained in the community a little bit. I was talking to somebody the other day about how, might have been my parents actually, about how you go to games and you might see a coach. And then that after so long, they finally recognize you and you just kind of, you know, chew the fat with them a little bit, or you'll go to a pace setter and then every secretary knows you or what have you. And you kind of get that rapport with people and, you know, a lot like moving, you get used to a lot of stuff and it's going to be hard after being used to something for 2 years to transition. And it's going to be hard to not be a part of a team. But where life takes me next, I'll be probably part of another team unless, you know, something weird happens and I'm like
teamless.
I'm teamless. I'm a farmer and in like a lone field. I don't know.
I can't see farming coming out of you, pal.
I don't either.
I just was don't never see farming.
I don't have the hands. I don't. I have small feeble hands. I can't even imagine
it trying to picture it. No.
I cowboy hat, I think, would be as far as I got. But
I can't see it.
You don't even wear shoes.
I wear shoes.
No farmers are barefoot.
I'm not barefoot.
Fun fact, I almost bought a cowboy hat when I was in San Antonio years back, but I was too lazy to go find a shop. As our taxi was taking us to the airport, it rounded the block, and on the back side of the block from where our hotel was a hat store.
I've never heard of a farmer-less story. I almost bought a hat, but I was too lazy, and then our taxi went the wrong way. So,
well, it was 5 a.m., so they weren't open, and then I'm like, oh, hey, there that it is. I wanted a cowboy hat from Texas.
I mean, I apologize. You should probably continue your story.
Do you still yearn for a cowboy hat?
Yeah.
More importantly.
I've never in 2 years, you've never mentioned wanting a cowboy hat.
Oh, I've heard it 3 times. Well, it's not like high
up. Well, so I grew up watching a lot of John Wayne and Westerns with my dad.
Yeah.
And so it kind of got, like, I'm talking like I was probably 5, if not younger, just watching like Gunsmoke or what have you with my dad. And so, you know, I've watched a lot of John Wayne movies multiple times. Good, Bad, and the Ugly multiple times, a lot of Clint Eastwood. And so it's just kind of in my blood a little bit.
Can you see him in a cowboy hat?
No.
I can't either, to be honest.
My grandparents were farmers, so I grew up on a farm. And, you know, if it was still going, you could come by and see. in the cowboy hat and actually taking care of chickens I don't think you'd like it very much, but the cowboy hat might.
Well, I wouldn't wear it all the time. It'd be basically to have it.
If you had the cowboy hat, would you wear that? You got to get a pair of boots to go with it.
No, that's expensive.
My dad randomly bought a pair of cowboy boots. I don't know why. I think you can
operate the boots without the hat, but I don't think you can operate the hat without the boots.
So you're telling me I can't wear a cowboy hat with these Nikes that I'm wearing?
No.
At what occasion would you wear the cowboy hat too?
What
is appropriate?
It would be hard as hell to shoot with a cowboy hat.
Because you don't like country music, so you wouldn't go to a country concert with a cowboy hat.
I'd go to something that would be inappropriate to wear the cowboy hat. I think that's probably the route I would take.
Maybe we'll get you like a little toy gun and stuff as a going away present, like a little plastic cowboy hat.
My dad has like real helmets from like different points in wars that we would wear also in the basement during tornadoes.
I'm down
just
to
in
go
case
half.
The
okay
house came down on top of us.
I'll get you a hat too.
I could just see you and your dad and your mom just rolling her eyes as you guys are hunkered down in like World War II hats. Now, who wore the German hat, or were they all U.S. issue?
One was from the
toilet.
It happened. We'll find out if you can hear it, but it happened.
Yeah. You'd have to make sure the software doesn't wipe it out. My grandpa brought a Nazi helmet back from World War II, so I believe that was one. And then there was like one from, I don't think it was Vietnam, but this it might have like been Desert Storm.
It's like a thing of Stranger Things, like the kids in the basement, and you're hunkered down with your Nazi war helmet and your dad in his U.S. infantry hat, and you're watching the Guns of Navarone.
Are you moving in with your parents?
No. Well, it depends. Just depends on like how quick
if they're home when he gets there.
Right.
They've left. I get the house then.
Mom, they changed the locks.
Oh, then I don't.
I fear for that all the time. No. I do live with my parents still.
It depends. I have an application cooking in the fire.
Nice.
And if I don't get it, then I'm gonna test the waters on a few things. And if that doesn't work. And I'm jobless for a little bit after my lease is up at this current apartment, then I will be in the old mama bear, papa bear den for a little bit.
So when you leave at the end of the week, you're going to still be here living in your apartment?
I'm going to be around. I don't know if I'll be in the Quad Cities or not. I'll be either going home to visit, or I haven't seen any of my friends. I haven't visited home in a couple of months either. So I'll probably go do some of that.
Do they know you're coming home? They're not going to like leave as they like, oh God, we thought we had another many months before Brian came home.
My mom, every time I talk to her, it's like, oh, we can come visit you. I'm like, there's no, one, my guest room is like my video game room. And then two, my house is messy. And I'll just like, that's all I would hear for the entire time they're here. It's like, when do you clean up more?
Your man cave.
So you're basically a nomad.
Yeah.
Doing whatever. No plan.
And that's exciting to a point, you know, and like with this business, you're on the go so much. And Todd and I have talked to this beforehand where you kind of just need a little bit of a break sometimes. And so it'll be good to have a little bit of a break in between the old switch up in life. I don't know if I'll be doing photojournalism or just something in the publications industry.
But you're not going to become a stripper.
No, well, I'm not ruling anything
never
out.
Say never.
Never say never.
Hey, if I'm desperate for money, man, I won't switch to peddling drugs, but stripping, who knows?
Well, if you're in the area, please make sure you go out even on like rainy days in case we need a weather feature.
Okay. I'll just like email you stuff.
If you're going to be in the Quad Cities.
Hi, I took your picture. I used to work for the local newspaper. Can I get your name? That's not creepy at all.
Oh, that was horrible as a freelancer for the Reg. Oh man, I like doing
the
weather.
The Reg.
Oh, what's sorry, the Des Moines Register.
Oh wow, I didn't put that together. Sorry.
It was just a
newspaper sounds named like after a guy named Reggie.
A vegan newspaper, like that'd some be, vegetables. I don't know.
That'd be a great magazine
that's the
name.
The Veg, not the Reg.
That's my bad.
Still be a great magazine name, either the Veg or the Reg. But yeah, no, this is like going up like families who are like sledding, and I have no like the.
happened again. The toilet.
The toilet again. That running water.
Everybody's coffee's kicking in.
Yeah, we have no focus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the worst feeling. But yeah, no, you don't have a press badge. So you're just going up to somebody, cold turkey, little kids are involved. And we talked about this on a prior podcast about the stigma. And then it's like, hi, I'm a freelance photographer shooting for the Des Moines Register for kind of like a snow day thing.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, and then more.
And the guy's like, do you got credentials? I'm like, well, they don't really give freelancers credentials. And then his brother who also had, like the guy's brother who also had kids sledding at the hills, like, come on, man, stop giving him a hard time. He's obviously professional with those kind of cameras. I was like, oh, geez.
I love that that's the qualification. Like, oh, your camera's nice. You're okay. You're okay. Real.
I've gotten into so many places just with the fact that I have like a honking DSLR.
Oh, God. That's not where I thought you were going.
Let's go in a different direction. Let's go in a different direction. I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
What was the most meaningful thing you did at the Dispatch Argosy thing the last 2 years?
I need to take it back under control.
Oh, should have asked me that before we got on. So
the girl in the room has to do.
Meaningful thing.
What was your favorite assignment?
Yeah.
Ooh, my favorite assignment.
Going to Pekin with your boss. No.
That was an interesting assignment.
Did you see how fast he said no?
Yeah, I did.
No, I don't ever want to ride in a car with you again.
No, never. I would say either the ones that will forever stick out to me are the first night I worked here when I was working with Meg and we shot the Rocky UT game because I had never seen a high school game that jazzed in my entire life. And that will forever stick with me. As for stuff, I feel like some of the videos I did, the yarn bomb one, the pottery one, and the Moline and Alleman girls coaches video about how they kind of came back to coach their high school teams. Those are the kind of things where you get to immerse yourself a little bit into the community or into somebody's what they like and what their passion is. If you're going to boil down to it, it's all about passion, which I can't spell apparently. Remember that YouTube video?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Part of my job as photo editor is to correct video caption mistakes by photographers who are in a hurry to post their videos online and they forget that spelling counts.
And but passion anyway. Spelled with two S's.
That's right.
But yeah, no, that was really cool. Cause you could see like I've photographed, state baseball. I've photographed, a lot of state sports in Iowa leading up to that moment. And talking about Rocky UT, game in 2016. But you didn't really get that kind of atmosphere with the fans, with the players on the court going into triple overtime.
And it was
it was triple overtime.
And it's a historic building.
Yeah.
That is just a great place to take
Wharton
pictures.
Wharton Fieldhouse in Moline.
And so you feel that energy. And then with the video assignments too, you feel like when I was talking to, I'm really bad with names, meet so many people, they'll kind of filter around my head eventually, at Dot of Dot's Pots, talking with her about how jazzed she is to be doing what she's doing. And she's just such a kind and generous soul. And this job, you get to meet at times the worst of people. But you also get to meet the best of people. And that's something where it really brightens up your day and you get to just experience this unbridled excitement that people have for what they do. And then it becomes my job to try to, the best of my abilities, tell that story. Those are some of the things that are going to stick with me. Just, the occasional email you'll get of, you might have been having a, you feel like you're shooting really bad at a game. And then you get an email from somebody's parent saying, hey, thank you for this, photo that you got of my kid. It made my day. And it kind of just puts in perspective what you're doing it for. There's days where you're kind of like, oh, well, I could really use, this portfolio piece or that or whatnot. But at the end of the day, we're here to
serve our readers.
Yeah, just put out a product that not only informs, but maybe can bring a little bit of joy to somebody's life.
Man, the first day I met you, Mize could probably recall.
It was tense.
It was super tense.
Super tense.
Super tense. I think we could talk about it now.
Two young photographers. Meg was worried about her place in the hierarchy. She hadn't been here all that long. She was the lone young wolf in the photo department learning. Didn't go to journalism school. Learned her craft from four old guys who were teaching her everything they knew every day, in and out. And then here comes the kid from Iowa State, journalism student, has the credentials, got a good portfolio. How are they going to get along? And I will never forget. Meg is trying to explain to Brian something about the game, and Brian turns to her and goes, "I've covered basketball before."
I was so mad.
And I'm like, okay, you two go have fun tonight. First day on the job, go cover the game together. I went home and I went, oh my God,
I got a new stepbrother.
They're kind of, yeah, it was tense. And it was interesting watching you guys have to get used to each other, mm-hmm. because bringing whatever it is, you know, preconceived notions or whatever, Megan only ever worked with people who I don't know that she was, quote, competitive with.
Sure.
And I don't know that Meg knew how competitive she was until you showed up. Mm-hmm. And then we had to work the competitiveness to benefit the team.
Yeah.
Because we all work for the same paper, and we all want to get the best picture. We all want to go to the same game. The mm-hmm. the science experience of sending you to the same game with two local teams and having you each cover one team,
the first day we ever met
was an interesting science experiment in personalities and sociology and whatnot. But in the end, it worked out. But I think that it taught me as a manager some stuff about how it's sort of like, it's interesting when you get a new puppy, you never introduce the new puppy to the older dog in the older dog's house. You go to a park and introduce them in a park. I think if you're going to introduce two young photographers to each other, you don't do it at the most competitive basketball game
of the year
in 5 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think in the long run it ended up being a problem, but I think that day, I mean, I could just feel the tension. And everybody in the room. I mean, it was palpable. And Welvert turned to me like, that's not going to go well.
But it did.
But it did.
It taught me a lot how to be a team player, because I'd never really needed to be a team player. I was always the student. So now, having somebody that, you know, we were on the same level, we were just as much, neither of us were in charge at all. We were Indians. Neither of us were chiefs, but, yeah, it was a fun night. I remember you didn't swear. You don't really swear. You always said fudge.
Because I was still in my trial period of not swearing while being at a professional.
And I do swear. So I was like, oh, I wonder if I offend him all the time. But now that's another one of those things. Yeah, we ended up forming quite a quirky friendship.
Yeah, no.
Starting that night.
It was, I think what really, that we're the competitive one-upmanship. You can't really... if you're not covering the same event, one-upping somebody is difficult because you're not covering the same event. So you can't come back and go, hey, I shot this protest and I shot this food illustration today. I am better than you. That doesn't really work that way. And so I think where it really benefited you two was in the pace setter portraits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And wanting to make the definitive pace setter portrait of whoever you were handed that week. And because they're not the same, they're similar because you're learning your light kits at the same time, because I bought you each matching kits and then you kind of made them your own. I thought that that's really where the competitive fires, ended up benefiting you and the paper
100%
because mm-hmm. you were like, oh, I saw Megan did this, and like, mm-hmm. hey, how did you do this? Or Brian, where did you put your light for this? And then you were able to talk about something on an even level and be able to learn from one and each other, or ask me or ask somebody else, and be able to kind of like build up from that. And your Paysetter portraits have been a real strength of this last 2 years, as the way you've both gotten better to the where, you know, Meg's on the Sunday shift, which is a lot of the POIs are shot on, you know, and so Meg and I are trading text messages. Hey, make sure you're trying to remember this. And then she sends me 6 pictures last night, and they were all good. They all worked. But if you go, I sent her one that was not good, like, hey, this is the, you know, these 3 you shot in the past were really good. This one's got this and this wrong with it. You know, learn from these mistakes, because the mistakes that you make are where you get all your corrections from. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you can make a great picture and you forget how the hell you did it. But deconstructing the ones that you screwed up really help you know where to put that backlight perfectly. You know, and you've both done that to where, you know, I can release you into the wild and you function like fully fledged.
We've grown together for yeah. sure.
So. That definitely.
What was your least favorite assignment?
Oh, oh, geez, that's putting me on the spot.
Did you get any letters of complaint?
Oh, geez, did I? Ooh, I got that veteran email. The one with Tony McCombe and the coin and the guy who has wanted me to name names. And,
yeah, or, that was uncomfortable.
That, and then he was more mad at like Dennis Moran, who has since gone to like Santa Monica. I think,
yeah, I've
like
shot
that.
Him since. He's forgiven us. He invited me to the Labor Day parade luncheon. You were invited to. We all were.
It's a long story. It's too long a story for the podcast, but it was, you got that. I mean, it certainly wasn't a little old lady who said you exploited little, what was it?
I'm
girls.
Yeah, I've caused women to believe that just girls in general shouldn't be in the sports section.
Yeah,
sorry, ladies.
There's that other call too where I fudged up, and it was like I assumed this kid was with his mom, and it would turn out not even to be a relative.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There was that one, and I don't think I've made that mistake ever again.
That's the thing about being in this young in this business is that mistakes are going to happen. And as long as you don't keep making the same mistake over and over and over again, and you don't make a mistake that gets us sued, any photo editor worth his salt has to understand that the mistakes are the teaching moments that to get mm-hmm. people to be better. Anyway, so you haven't had a bad experience. Is what you're telling me. It's been a mostly positive experience here.
No least favorite assignment.
No least favorite assignment.
Well, I'd have to think about that. Well, I'd have to go back through. I'm sure there's been.
Check out your journal. Day one. Well, worked with Meg. It was difficult.
No.
Day two.
Going back on that, I said that.
Repeat day one.
Oh, geez.
Up until last day.
Oh, repeat.
Meg dropped the mic, leave the room.
Just going back to that moment, so I have a thing where I hate when people worry about me. Just because I just
it's a good thing I haven't worried about you 1 minute.
Yeah, wait, what moment are we?
Because
on?
I don't like worrying people. Oh, when I said I've shot a basketball game before.
Oh, okay, got it.
So
I don't
like,
know that worried anybody. I think it just pissed people off.
Because
mainly me.
I talked to you. I think it was the next day in the car about it. And because I was worried that she was too worried about me. And I didn't want to like stress you out. And
you were very stressful, but I don't think for the reasons you think you were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, no. I just, it was a new experience.
We've gotten better.
Yeah. No.
It's funny. It's very funny. I wish you all could have been in that moment, man.
I wish I had taped it. It was tense.
Our personalities. Like, I mean, I just don't know if that could ever happen if it weren't. I mean, we couldn't be two different people either. So it was fun. We were in similar points in our career.
Yeah. And it's not every day you shoot a game with somebody you don't know and that's just something you generically don't do, especially early on in this business. So it was a new experience.
Well, I think that's true, but I also think that what plays into it is the fact that anybody who starts a new job wants to do a good job.
Yeah.
And doesn't want, I mean, I think that the idea that not wanting someone to worry about you, I think that the idea that, listen, we don't need to worry about this. I understand basketball and how it works. I get that, but it was, and I understand, like, if someone were like, well, when you go to this news event, make sure you shoot the people. You know, I've covered a fire before. I get point the camera at the flames. I get that. But it was such a fascinating, the last 2 years, as that you guys have grown to be friends and have worked together on shift, off shift. It's just been really fascinating to watch two young people navigate each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned a lot about how, I mean, normally for years, the only young person in the department was the intern, and the intern, they learned to, that they were there for different reasons. And so to have two young people at the same time was a learning experience for me, because that will help me navigate. The next person we bring in is probably going to be, if we bring someone in, will be younger than Meg and have a different set of experiences, and it will just be different. Her reaction to them will be different, and then their reaction to Meg, having been here for as long as she has, will be different. So that situation will never happen again.
I'm old now.
Yeah, you're old.
Not a puppy anymore.
No. And so it just, and you probably wouldn't say the things that you say to the next kid that comes in, because that was a really unique situation to have someone start in the middle of the playoffs.
Right. And I'm from this area, and I also have a tendency to grow attachments to certain things when covering. I mean, when it least comes to sports, I tend to I like backstory. I like to know. And I believe that's what I was talking about. I was explaining some of the players, he should be good, but he has a concussion and it's been his whole year. Yeah, and his older brother was related to this guy, and he ended up going CJ Neville. But the point the point is that it was like I was trying to explain. I was over-explaining the people on the teams. And
so what you're saying, you were talking too much?
I was talking too much, but he didn't care about the people on the team at that point. No, he was still covering. He just wanted to cover the game. It didn't mean more than that.
It was funny.
Than the game.
It was funny.
Going back to memorable bad moments, I will forever remember shooting, I think it was the Rock Island Track Regional, in a full downpour.
Oh yeah,
and I
remember that.
I had a raincoat in my car, and I think I still have photos on my phone where it was John Schultz from Times and I, and we're just there getting completely drenched, and my raincoat did not save me. I like my sleeves up to my shoulder blade were drenched in water, just wet from the water going down your hands. And I think I was at that thing for like 3 hours total, because you have to be there for so long to get the certain people you need for the paper. And so I didn't really have too much of a choice.
That's why I don't dig track.
It sucks.
I don't dig track.
That's why I hate the Drake relays. The Drake relays are notoriously bad weather.
I hate bad weather.
And like last year,
says the woman who covered a march for their lives in a driving snowstorm.
It was terrible. I'm dramatic though, to be honest. But it was soaking wet. But anyway, back to Brian.
No. Yeah, no, I
just feel very strongly about that.
When I saw
weather.
It was like raining, or not raining, but like sleeting and then snowing the other day, and then the march going on in the same time, it's like, oh.
Do you ever
man.
Get back in the car after covering something, or at least after the track meet, and you get in there and you're just soaking wet and you just sit there and you're like, I'm miserable. That was terrible.
I might not be soaking wet, but there's times where, depending on the assignment or depending on how the person was to you that you're taking a photo of, treated you, you just kind of get in your car and you're like, what the hell am I doing? And then there's other times, like I was talking about before, where you're like, this is amazing. This is why I do it. So, you know, you have some good with your bad. Yeah. Or some bad with your good.
A lot of highs and lows in the industry I'm starting to pick up on.
Yeah, I never liked covering like fatalities. Those are things that
we don't take joy in other people's tragedy.
No, it's just like having to go and then you have to stick around and then you're like, you try not to make sure you have all the facts so you don't get sued. And then, you know, the John, you know, that's where the John Deere Classic comes in, segueing. That was probably some of the most fun working here that I've had. And it's not because it's just pro golf, but you get to, especially last year, I think, because I think, I mean, you've worked with like Schultz and Cook for years. And then instead of us being competitor, well, I mean, we're still competing in a way, but we're now all part of the same team. It was really, because it felt like just a nice big photo family. And we're just working as a team. We're working with all the cool sports, you know, writers. I don't think anybody really had
cool sports writers.
Well, like we didn't have like a, we didn't have like a overly egotistical like explosion.
Oh, okay. Sorry, there was some physical look. There were some physical looks for a split second before we knew where he was going. Like, yes, no, no one's got nose got bent out of shape, and it went remarkably well. Yeah. And what Brian's talking about is that when the Lee Enterprises purchased us, we ended up, they're the Davenport paper, we're the Illinois paper. We have very separate, very distinct audiences, but for something like the John Deere Classic, that's just that many more cameras working in concert together. There's no reason to have two of us on the 14th hole on a Thursday to get some guy's picture. So we, our staffs, intermingled. I ran the team during the tournament, and everybody did a absolutely fabulous job of going, hey, I got this. What hole do you want me to go to? And sports adjusted really well to knowing who to ask and when to ask and what to get. And I really, and that's when we were having some meetings with the publisher recently. I said, you know, well, perfect example of cooperation is the John Deere Classic. We started our cooperation on the most difficult event of the year. And thank God for text messaging, because be able to text message people, okay, you go to 18 and be here, you go to 18 and be here, you go to 18 and be here. And I ended up screwing myself, and I wasn't at 18 when the guy, we all thought it was going to come down to the last group, and it didn't. It came down to the two groups before.
Yeah,
we're Schultz and so, and I were on 18.
Right. And you guys were on 18 and got it from different angles. And I was in the press room filing a picture of the guy we thought was going to win so that we had it on the website immediately. So I ran up, put the picture in the system, and was getting up to turn around and get a bottle of water to go back down. And I hear this huge cheer, and I'm like, I won't be getting the bobblehead picture this year.
I was across the eye. I heard it too. I had the last group because Zach Johnson, some of the better golfers were in the last group. Yeah. No, I was like, oh man. Yeah,
cause you were at 16.
Not my year again. I was nowhere near 18. Yeah.
I had close enough
to hear it though.
I had the bobblehead. They make a bobblehead of the winner. And I had the bobblehead picture like 3 or 4 years in a row. Mm. And I will not have a picture of this year's bobble. I mean, that they base the bobblehead on, because unless they want a picture of me getting a bottle of water as the bobblehead, that's not right.
No, it was just kind of cool. I don't think there was ever really a moment, except for when my camera was acting really weird, where I just wanted to beat myself over my head with my Nike shoe. Like, it was just like, it was very smooth, very streamlined. It was fun. You got to be outside. We're, you know, all working in a nice crescendo to the end. And that is a musical term, right, for ending.
Meg? Sure.
I don't even
yes.
know. Anyway,
we'll just say yes. I think so.
A year and a half. I lose my music shenanigans. But no,
music
it was just
shenanigans.
It was fun. And
what's the over and under on shenanigans in this podcast? The use of the word shenanigans in this podcast.
You know what? I think it's a lot higher than I thought.
I'm gonna start using tomfoolery just to screw everybody up. If there's people who are betting or playing like podcast bingo,
I feel tired.
But that was just one of the fun things that we got to do. And it was it has its stressful moments, but that's just one thing where I looked forward to it both years, man, was looking forward to it up until I kind of made my decision.
Where, well, thank God you didn't decide to leave in the middle of the John Deere Classic.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'd have beat you up.
I would be in one of those trash cans, just like a dead body.
Yes. See your car. Yeah.
That's right.
Found on
Where's
18.
Brian? He's dead.
He's gone. In that trash can that was like wheeled into the pond on 18.
He quit.
We buried. We put some concrete, put his shoes in concrete, and we buried him in the pond at 18.
Jeez.
He'll just like bobble up when the water goes down. You'll just see this kind of.
Never There's mind. A frog on my
Anyway,
head.
So it's it didn't really happen. Dark. Now no, we know.
I'm still alive.
But you know how I'm going to kill him. The next person.
I'm actually not quitting. I am just being murdered. No.
Help.
Blink
twice if you're in trouble. Melania.
So yeah, no, it's been a fun ride. Definitely some ups, some downs, a lot of fun in between. So.
Yeah, well, what's that? A lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun.
A lot of.
Well, I for one have known about this for a while, and I want to wish you the best of luck officially here in the podcast.
I appreciate
Hell,
that.
We may do a podcast before you leave, but this is the podcast we'll release in prior to your leaving. And there's the toilet again. It's going to be a running joke. Actually, maybe we should put a mic in the toilet, a wireless mic in the bathroom.
No, you should do like a bell, like a bell ding each time that it flushes.
It's that's like, a ding. I like that. I like that ding. Idea. Ding every time the toilet flushes. Ding. But anyway, hey, you know what? We're not going to have a fancy studio with silent with walls with padded foam and make it sound all wonderful, because that would just not be our reality. We have to have the hum of the. I don't know where the hell this fan is coming from. It's this low hum, but I don't know that they'll be able to hear it when I put a little bit of noise reduction.
Oh,
on
I don't
it,
even know. Anyway. Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck, Brian, in your future. We will miss you, and we want you to stay in touch.
Well,
do you have anything else to say to him?
No, but I feel like I should. No,
she's still mad at me about that first day.
Yeah, yeah. I don't say. I wish you luck, but I'll still be competitive with you. I still hope I shoot better. No, I'm kidding.
Meg's a grudge holder.
No, we'll have to get you that cowboy hat, maybe.
I like Eastern Iowa, so I'll be back. I mean, I know we're in Illinois, but it's like it might as well be Iowa or both ways around. So I'll be in the area.
Illinois, don't agree at all. But I'm glad you're in the area.
So I'll be around, and I think Ragbri ends up coming through Davenport this year.
Correct. It ends in Davenport this year
again.
Last year.
Maybe I know Purdy will be in it, so maybe I'll find Purdy, and Purdy and I can do a nice little conference call on the and phone into the pod.
Sounds good. We'll do it from a bar.
Yeah.
All right, folks. I'm Todd Meisner.
I'm Meg McLaughlin.
And I'm Brian Achenbach.
And this has been Talking Pictures, and our goodbye to Brian Achenbach.
The Talking Pictures podcast is produced by Todd Meisner with help from Todd Welvert, Meg McLaughlin, Brian Achenbach, and Gary Krambeck, with a special thanks to Laura Frames, Randy Fisk, and Laura Anderson Shaw. The music was provided by Kevin McLeod at www.incomputech.com. To see some of the photos and videos discussed in our podcast, be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and our blog at talkingpicturespodcast.blogspot.com. Make sure you never miss a podcast by subscribing to the Talking Pictures podcast on iTunes or Podbean.